Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Lamed Vav, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, 11 lines from the top. Our Mishnah taught us that Edom Chosim Al Get Mnei Tikkun Olam, that Edom are supposed to sign on a get because it's for our benefit, for the benefit of everyone. Ask the Gemara Mnei Tikkun Olam, where is it? What is the Mishnah saying that the need to sign is because of Tikkun Olam deraisa hi? It's a chiv deraisa. The ksiv v'ksoy b'seif v'chasoyim. Which is a pasuk in Yirmiyah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyah, as Yerushalayim was being besieged, that Yerushalayim will fall to Nebuchadnezzar, and that Klal Yisrael will go to Golus. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give Klal Yisrael some comfort, and he tells Yirmiyahu to tell Klal Yisrael they will eventually return to Eretz Yisrael. And to prove that point, he tells Yirmiyahu that the people should buy property in Eretz Yisrael and have them properly recorded, so that when they come back from Golus, they should have these documents to prove that these properties belong to them. So we see that when a document is to be written, if it is to be considered valid, it requires v'ksoiv b'seif v'chasoim, that it has to be properly signed. So what do we need Rav Gamliel to teach us this? Answers the Gemara, Amarava l'tzricha l'Rabbi Elazar. This was taught according to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, we know, holds Eidei Mesira Karti. As we've discussed, there's a machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, Eidei Mesira Karti, Eidei Chasim Karti. Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that Eidei Mesira Karti, the Eidim that testify to the transmittal of the get, are what caused the get to be effective. Yet, says the Gemara, even according to Rabbi Elazar, Tekinu Rabbana Eidei Chasima, Chasal taught us that we should have Eidei Chasima sign the get, Mnei Tikkun Olam, the Zimn and the Maisi Sadi, because sometimes we're just going to rely on the Eidei Mesira. If the Eidei Mesira pass away, or Inami Zimn and the Azli Lemdina Sayam, or if the Eidim travel overseas, and if there is an error on the get, there will not be Eidim to be able to prove that the get is indeed valid. By having the Eidim signed in the get, and we could then confirm their signatures, we will be able to know that the get is a valid get. We have here a fundamental machloikus rishonim and how to understand the opinion of Rabbi Elazar now. Some Rishonim, that's the opinion of Tosfos, say that, of course, Rabbi Elazar requires still Eidei Mesira, but he also requires Eidei Chasima in case something happens that the Eidei Mesira are no longer available. However, the Rif says that now that Rabbi Elazar is teaching us that we need to have the Eidei Chasima, there is no longer a specific need to have Eidei Mesira signed on the get. Rather, the Eidei Chasima, according to Rabbi Elazar, will be adequate. The Meiri learns some sort of a compromise position. He says, of course, Rabbi Elazar still requires Eidei Mesira, but he says that we could typically assume that the Eidei Chasima and the Eidei Mesira are one and the same. Ask the Rishonim, if, as we're learning now, this rule that we should have Eidim signed on a shtar already existed from the time of Yirmiyah, as the pasuk says, "V'ksoy b'seif v'chasoyim," so why did we need Eidim? Why do we need Rav Gamliel to teach us this? It was already in place from the time of Yirmiyah. So there are a number of answers given to this question. One answer is that Yirmiyah was referring only to Shtari Mecher, to sale documents. Rabbi Gamliel came along and said that not only by sale documents do we have this rule, but also by gittin. Another pshat is that Yirmiyah, we needed these documents to last a long time. As we discussed earlier, they were going into galus, and they were only going to come back 70 years later. So certainly there's a need to have properly signed documents that we could be able to do kiyum. But again, in normal circumstances where we don't have to do this, that's what Rabbi Gamliel said, that every document should have these eidim. Another pshat is that indeed this was something that Yirmiyah taught Klal Yisrael, but it was Rabbi Gamliel who made it popular and made sure that everybody in Klal Yisrael should follow this rule. As says the Gemara, Rav Yosef Eimer, I feel a Temler Rameya. We could explain that this is following even the opinion of Rameya that holds Edech Simakarti. So there was certainly, according to Rameya, always a need for Edim to sign the get. Edech Simakarti. However, what was the takana of Rav Gamliel? The takana of Rav Gamliel was Hiskinu she'edim farshim shmeisayim begedin. He required that the edim write their names out explicitly in the get. Mepnei tikkun ha'olam. Kiritanya. B'rishonim hayukosef. Originally, all that an aid signed on the get, on a document, was ani paloini chasamti aid. And there's a machloikus rishonim to understand what does that mean. Some say it's as the words as it says in our Gemara. The way an aid would sign his name is he wouldn't even write his name out. He would just say ani poloni chasamti aid, and that would be enough of an aidus. Others say that he didn't even write the word ani poloni. He just wrote ani aid. Yet the Beis Yosef says, of course, somebody always had to write his name. But all he wrote was his name, Reuven, Shimon. He didn't write Reuven ben Yaakov or any further identification, which made it very difficult, as the Gemara is now going to teach us, to be Mekayim B'Shtar. Kirtanya, B'Rishayna Yekosev Ani Poloni Chosamti Yeid. That was all that was done as a signature. Imtsav Yodoy Yotz Makamach HaKosher. Now, if we wanted to verify these signatures, it was a very difficult thing to do because we didn't know whom to look for. So if we were able to accomplish it, then we could verify it again. Vimlav, it would be possible. Amar Rav Gamliel, takana gedoyle eskinu. That's what Gamliel said, that they should make this very important takana, that she'e mefarshim shmeseim begitin, that when a get is signed, they should be very explicit in the way that the get, the way the signature is written, mivnei tikkun ha'olam, that it should be easy to verify the signature. And in fact, the Marchesha says, from here we see that a proper way of doing kiyum is by comparing signatures, and therefore that was the method that was used, but it was difficult to do if you didn't know whose signature you were looking for. Says the Gemara, Ubisiman, ask the Gemara, Ubisiman aloy, is a simon not an adequate means of doing kiyum? For Rav Tsayir Kavra, the way Rav would put a fish in the place of his name, and the Mefarshim explain what does the significance of a fish. So I saw for Rameh Shapiro said this when he established his first yeshiva in the city of Sanuk in Poland. He says that a Jew's attitude to Torah has to be like a fish in the sea. Just like a fish can only survive when he's in the water. And even there, the Gemara says, he needs Yeshua, that he shouldn't be caught. Certainly a Jew, Rav was saying, is that needs to be like a fish in water to be totally always connected to Torah. Rav Chanina Tsayer Charusa, he would draw a palm branch. What was the significance of a palm branch? So Mefarshim explained that Rav Chanina was always careful that he would never teach or something on his own or paskin a shayla on his own unless he had previously heard this from his rabbeim. So he was saying is, I'm no more than a branch from the tree. I'm not the tree. I'm not the source for the Torah. I'm just reporting and repeating what I have learned from my rabbeim. Rav Chisda wrote the letter Samach. Rav Oishia wrote the letter Ayin. I saw two pshatim in the significance of the Samach and Ayin. One pshat that I saw from the Gilyon HaShas is that Ayin and Samach stand for Asei Simonim. You may make Simonim as a signature. So one used the letter Ayin from the statement Asei Simonim, and one used the Samach from the statement of Asei Simonim. Another pshat is Samach means Smoich Olai. You could rely on my signature, and the Ayin represents Iyun, that I properly review the document prior to my signing it, and therefore you can know that it's a reliable document. Rav Barafonot Sai Makusa, he would draw a sail. What is the significance of a sail? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained this also. The Gemara says that sailors are typically very great Yirei Shamayim, because since they're out at sea all the time and they have to be concerned, they're hoping that they'll remain safe, that brings to them a tremendous level of Yira Shemayim. And that's why he signed, his simon was a sail to show that as much Torah as he learned, the main component of a Jew is always supposed to remain his Yirash Shemayim. So we see that you don't have to sign your name, asks the Gemara. It's enough to sign with a simon, answers the Gemara. Shani Rabbanim Debekin Simonayu. Everybody knew that this, when the Rabbanim, these Simonim represented these people, and therefore they can't sign with a simon. Asked the Gemara, Mikar B'mayefkinu. That's fine once they became known that this was the way that they signed the names. But prior to everybody knowing that this was the way they signed their names, how could they sign their names just with a simon? Answers the Gemara, Bediske. Because they had other correspondents, Shail Sechuvis, or letters that they wrote, those were the way that people became aware that this was the simon and this was the way they signed their names. The Mefarshim point out the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that they signed other shtaris this way is a proof that all shtaris have to be properly signed, not just gittin. The Gemara now comes to teaching us the halacha of prusbel, because as we learned in our Mishnah, Hillel tiken prusbel. Hillel taught us that the rules of a prusbel. So before we begin learning the sugya of prusbel, let us review certain basic halachas about the prusbel. The Torah teaches us the halacha of Shemitah. We know that one of the fundamental halachas of Shemitah is that during the Shemitah year, one may not work in his fields. But there's another halacha of Shemitah, and that is the halacha that Shemitah's Ksofim, that all loans become cancelled during the Shemitah year. Machloikas Rishonim, exactly what does that mean? Does it mean, and this is the opinion of most Rishonim, that the loan is entirely cancelled during the Shemitah year? Or does it mean that the loan is not really cancelled, just I have no right to demand payment of the loan? But the loan can't be collected in the Shemitah year. Exactly when does this din begin is also the subject of a machlokes Rishonim. Most Rishonim learn that the din of Shemitah's Ksofim only begins at the beginning of the year, an Erev Rosh Hashanah of the year after Shemitah. Of the Erev Rosh Hashanah of the year after Shemitah. The Rosh, just the way the Mefarshim explained the Rosh, has an interesting approach. It seems that the Rosh does agree that Shemitah's Ksafim only takes effect Erev Rosh Hashanah of the year after Shemitah. However, there's a very important concept that the Paiskim and the Mefarshim discuss in this halacha of Shemitah's Ksafim. There are two parts to it, they say. One is that the debts are cancelled, and the other is that the person has an iser of layigash. He has an iser to demand payment. Say the Paiskim. The Rosh agrees that the loan is not actually cancelled until Erev Rosh Hashanah. But still, during the year of Shemitah, one should not go and demand payment for his loan, because the Isser of Layigash applies already during the entire year of Shemitah. The Rishonim ask that why did Hillel have to come up with the Eitzah of making a Prosbul, where he could have given some other approaches how to avoid Shemitah's Ksafim. One is that the Gemara says that if when someone takes a loan from someone else, he could say Amnas Shloitashmitani Shvius, on the condition that the Shemitah rules should not affect this loan. So the question is, if somebody could just say that, why do we have to have a Prosbul? Just have everybody who makes a loan say those words. So the simple answer is, we're concerned that people, when they make the loan, especially if it's many years before Shemitah, so people aren't thinking of Shemitah at that time, and they won't remember to make that tonight. Another teretz is that if I borrow money from someone else, and it's 5 years before Shemitah, and I tell the person who I'm borrowing from, I'm going to pay you back in a year, and then I say, however, I'm not shloi tashmitani shviyah, so you say it. It seems that the loan will not be repaid. If Shemitah is 5 years away and I'm already thinking about it, it seems that I'm not going to be paying you back so quickly. Another teretz that I saw is that the lashon, the terminology that's used in this Tanai, is very important. One cannot say Amnash Loi Tashmiteini Shvius, because one cannot make a Tanai that Shemitah shouldn't be Chal. It's Masna Mashakos B'Torah. The wording he has to use is Amnash Shloi Tashmiteini Bishvius. And since people won't necessarily be careful to use the proper wording, that's why Chazal preferred to make the rule of use the prizbol. Another two terutzim. One more terutz is that if somebody is saying that, it's showing that he really doesn't want to lend money because of Shemitah. And as the Gemara is going to teach us, somebody doing that is oivan avera. And the person doesn't want to lend money because he's afraid he's not going to, because he doesn't want the Shemitah rules to apply to that money, and therefore it's inappropriate to say it. And the last teretz that we're going to use is the teretz that we just spoke about, is the concept that we just spoke about a moment ago. Although by saying that, say the Mefarshim, I have avoided that the loan is not cancelled, but as the Rosh taught us, there are two separate concepts. There's a concept that the loan is not cancelled, but cancelled, and there's a concept of layigash. Making that tonight only avoids the cancelling of the loan, but it doesn't avoid the problem of layigash. The Rishonim also ask that since the halacha is that Shemitah's Ksafim only affects loans that are due during the Shemitah year, so why can't the Malva just extend the date when the loan is due, and therefore it will not be a loan due during the Shemitah year, and therefore the loan can be paid? So Mefarshim answer that a Malva cannot extend the payment date without the Loiva's consent. And here the Loiva will obviously not consent, because he recognizes that by consenting he is going to have to pay a loan that he normally would not have to have paid. The Shemesh Shmuel explains what is the concept behind Shemitah's Ksofim. He says the concept of Shemitah in general is to teach equality, that all land is free to everyone, that there isn't one person better or superior over another person. He isn't richer than the next person. And that's why we also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that the loans should be cancelled. Because we know that the Pasuk says, Eved loiva lish malva. A loiva is like a servant to the malva. But Shemitah speaks to equality amongst all men. And therefore, part of the fulfillment of Shemitah is Shemitah's Ksofim. So says the Gemara, Hillel Tikin Prisbel, Tanan Hossam, Prisbel Ein Meshamit. The Prisbel avoids Shemitah's Ksofim. Zechem and Advarim Sheiskun Hillel Azokin. This is one of the rules that Hillel Azokin put into place. Shuras Om, Shenimnum Lahalva Zezeh. He saw that people were refraining from loaning each other because of the rule of Shemitah's Ksofim. For Avra Mashakos B'Torah, and therefore they were violating what the Torah teaches us, as we just spoke about. Hisham L'Chapanyeh Dovim L'Vavcha B'Liyal, that a person should not avoid lending money to someone else because of Shemitah. Amed B'Hiskin Prisbel, so he went and he instituted Prisbel. V'zehu Gufish L'Prisbel, and what did the Prisbel say? Masrani L'Chem Ploini De'yonim Shemakim Ploini. A person gives over the loan to the judges of this and this place. Shekol chayv sheyeshli etzaplani, any debts that are owed to me. Shegvena kozman she'eretzu, should I have a right to collect it whenever I wish. Vadayonim chayisim lamata, dayonim sign, or edim sign. So there's a fundamental three-way machloikis rishonim in understanding the concept and how Prisbel works. Because the rishonim ask, there's a Mishnah in Masech Tashviyas that speaks about Maisa Shtiras of Lebesdin, somebody giving over his shtaras to Bezdin, and that being an effective way of avoiding Shemitah's Ksofim. And therefore the question is, what did Hillel institute if it's already the Mishnah teaching us that that's a din midoraisa? So Tosfos says that according to Rashi, that is not really a din midoraisa, that is only in a smachta, and therefore what Hillel says and what the Mishnah says is really all one or the same, and it's only effective because of takana the rabbanon, which we will explain more in a moment. However, Tosfos on the other hand learns that indeed Prisbel is the same as Moisish the rice of Lebesdin, which the Torah tells us that it's the Bezdin to whom the money is owed versus to individual, the halachas of Shemitah's Ksofim do not apply. So if so, the question is, why do we need a Prisbel for? So a number of answers are given why, according to Tosfos, a Prisbel is required. Some say it's because a Prisbel would, because Maisa Shtarais of Lebesdin would only be effective as the words of the Mishnah imply, when one actually gave over the loan documents to Bezdin. What the Prisbel does is that even if you don't give over the loan documents to Bezdin, it's still effective. Another pshat is that the Prisbel is effective even by a milva al peh. And that, in fact, is the basis for the third approach in the Rishonim, that say that indeed, if one would give over his shtoris to Bezdin, midoraisa, Shemitah's Ksofim would not apply. However, what Hillel accomplished with making a Prisbel rule was that not only is that effective, but even if someone didn't give over his shtaris or did it by milval peh, that would also make it an effective way of avoiding the problem of Shemitah's Ksofim. Ask the Gemara, Omiyikam midi the midaraisa misham tashviyas. Is it possible to understand the midaraisa, these loans ought to be cancelled because of Shemitah? The Hiskin Hillel delay Mishamta, and Hillel will now go and say that the loan is not cancelled. Amar Abaya, to this Abaya answers, Al Gemara is referring to Shviyas Bezman Zeh, and it goes according to the opinion of Rebbe. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, V'zedvar Shmita Shmoit, V'shtei Shmita Sakos Medaber. The Pasuk is speaking about two Shmitas. Achas Shmitas Karka, V'ach Shmitas Ksofim. As we said it in our introductory remarks, the Shmita that you know how to work the ground, and the Shmita that the loans are cancelled. And teaches us the Torah, Rebbe. Bizman teaches us what Rebbe teaches us that the Pasuk means to teach us. Bizman shat mishamit karka at mishamit ksofim. When Shmita's karka is in place, so too is Shmita's ksofim in place. Bizman shiat mishamit karka yat mishamit ksofim. And therefore, nowadays, where Shmita's karka isn't in place, because Shmita's karka is only in place when all of Klal Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael and the rules of Yovel apply, and now all of Klal Yisrael are not in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Yovel isn't in place, and therefore Shmita's Karka is not in place, and therefore Shmita's Ksofim is only Midrabanon, and since it's only Midrabanon, therefore the halacha is that Hillel could have made this concept of Prozbol. And here again we have an interesting Machloikis Rishonim. Rashi and many Rishonim learn that even though Hillel lived in the time of Bayis Sheni, already in the time of Bayis Sheni, most of Klal Yisrael, the Ten Shvatim, were not in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Yovel did not apply. And since Yovel did not apply, neither did Shmita's Karka and Shmita's Ksofim. Shmita's Ksofim was only Drabonon, and therefore Hillel was able to institute a Prozbol. However, Tosfos is of the opinion that in the time of Bayis Sheni, Yovel did apply. And Hillel's Takana was not for his time. Hillel's Takana was that he foresaw that the Bayis Sheni would be destroyed, and Klal Yisrael would leave Eretz Yisrael, they would go into Golis, and for that time did Hillel institute the Prozbol. Which of course many Rishonim question, how could Hillel, why would Hillel make a rule for something that didn't exist at all? So some explain that Hillel already saw that in his time people were refraining from lending one to each other money because of Shemitah. So he already recognized the need to do something because of this problem, and that's why he instituted a Prozbol. Or other Rishonim suggest that Hillel was actually just reactivating a Takana that was in place from previously. Because as we spoke earlier at the beginning of our Shir, Klal Yisrael had already gone into Golis after the Churban Bayis Rishon. They were in Golis for 70 years. And the Rishonim suggest that already during that first Golis, there was already a Prozbol in place. Then, according to Tosfos' explanation, the Prozbol, then they came back, the Bayis Sheni was built, and Shmita's Ksofim became a Din Doraisa, and therefore during that period, the Shmita, they could not use a Prozbol. And then, afterwards, they again were able to come back. Because the Bayis was destroyed, Hillel reactivated and said that after the Bayis Sheni will be destroyed, you could again rely on the Prozbol. Ask the Gemara for the Kinu Rabbonim, the Teshamet Zeich L'Shvius. Instead of making a rule that there should be a Prozbol, make a rule that Shemitah should be in effect, so people should not forget this important rule of Shemitah's Ksofim. Answers the Gemara. Roy Hillel shenimnu am milahav zezeh. Hillel saw that the Rabbanim made a rule that the Shvi Shmita Ksofim, but people were refraining from lending money to each other. That's why Amar v'hiskin Prozbol. Ask the Gemara. Now we have an opposite problem. Midaraisa, there is no Shmita Ksofim when Yovel doesn't apply. So if there is no Shmita Ksofim when Yovel doesn't apply, how could the Rabbanon go and institute Shmita's Ksofim? Isn't that an Isser Gzela? The Isser Gzela that really I have a right to demand the money that's owed to me. And now the Rabbanon will say the Shmita's Ksofim, and don't have to pay me? Isn't that a concern of gzeila? Or me committed the midraisa loy misham to shviyas v'takin rabbanon to shamet. The rabbanon should institute shmita. I'm rabbi. Yes, the rabbanon have the ability to do so because sheva taisel. It's a, the rabbanon always have a right to make rules sheva taisel. And here sheva taisel, they're saying don't collect your loan. And the mefarshim speak about what is the havamina maskon of the Gemara. We know that the rabbanon always can institute rules when it's sheval taisa. That's why they could say we don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. We don't take the lulav when Sukkot is on Shabbos because sheval taisa. So why would we think that the rabbanon don't have a right to do this by shmita? So Rishonim explain here, we're referring to a situation of geneva where a person may not be paying back money that he's obligated to pay back. It's a shayil of gzela. There, the Gemara is concerned perhaps the Rabbanon's power isn't that great. That's why the Gemara teaches us that even under such circumstances, the Rabbanon have a right to make rules, and it is considered under the general category of sheval taisa. Others want to explain, because by Shemitah, the Malva has to say to the Loiva, Meshamet ani, I'm cancelling the loan, and that maybe should be considered Kumvasei, not Sheval Taisa. Says the Gemara, the Meshamet ani is not considered a Maisa, and therefore Sheval Taisa. So as we have been explaining, the Rabbanon say that the Shemitah nowadays is only the Rabbanon, Shemitah's Ksofim, Shemitah's Karka. And as the Gemara said, because it's a zecher for Shemitah Daraisa. So the question is, why didn't Chazal also make a zecher for Yovel? We don't even do Yovel mit Rabbanon. So Taisus answers that if we would have Yovel, that means there would be 2 years, two consecutive years, where we can't work the field, which would be too difficult for most people to follow, and that's why the Rabbanon did not make such a gezeirah. And the Yaivitz goes on to explain. It really is an interesting thing that the Torah teaches us to have Shemitah, and that the year afterwards is Yovel. For 2 years not work the field. But the reason we do it is the Torah tells us to do it, and the Torah also tells us that Tzivisi es Berchasi. The Torah guarantees us that we'll have Parnosah. But that, says the Yaivitz, is only when we're doing it because the Torah taught us to do it. The Rabbanon don't have the ability to activate with Tzivisi es Berchasi, and therefore they cannot take it upon themselves to make a Shemitah and a Yovel b'zman hazeh. The Chazon Ish disagrees with this. The Chazon Ish says that if there's a takana de Rabbanon, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows the takana de Rabbanon, and therefore the Tzivisi es Berchasi applies even when Shemitah is only a de Rabbanon. And the Chazon Ish says, if we see at times that there is no Tzivisi es Berchasi, it's only because maybe certain individuals aren't worthy of that bracha, or people have done aveiros, and that's not that they're not worthy of the bracha, but certainly the Tzivisi es Berchasi even applies by Shemitah de Rabbanon. The Rabban says that the reason Chazal did not institute a zecher for Yovel, because Yovel only applies, Yovel represents when Klal Yisrael has a melucha in Eretz Yisrael. Now, when we don't have that meluchas, Malchus Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, Yovel wasn't instituted. The Ravid says, since many of the other halachas of Yovel could not have been instituted, we don't have Avodim, we don't have Bati Erech Chaimer, and all of those other rules, so that's why, since not all of the rules of Yovel could have been followed, Chazal chose not to make a Zeichel Yovel. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different reason how Hillel could have instituted a prosbol, because Hefka Bezdin Hoya Hefka. And here we have, again, a machloikis Rashi and Taisus with very serious implications on how to understand this answer of Hefka Bezdin Hefka. According to Rashi, this answer of Hefka Bezdin Hefka explains why a prosbol could be effect, and it goes back to the first question of the Shir, how Hillel of the Gemara, how Hillel could have made a prosbol. According to Rashi's understanding, Hefker Bezdin Hefker Prosbul being based on Hefker Bezdin Hefker could apply even to Shmit, even when Shmit is Midaraisa. However, Taisvis learns that this question, this answer of Rava, of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, is only answering the question, the last question that the Gemara asks. How could the Rabbanan institute a Prosbul? Isn't there a problem of Gzela? Of that, the Gemara answers, Hefker Bezdin Hefker. But they can't, according to Taisvis, say that Hefker Bezdin Hefker should apply when Shmit is Midaraisa. So now we have a Machlokes Rashi in Taisvis. B'meheira b'yameinu, Shmita will be Daraisa when Mashiach comes. According to Rashi, we will be able to continue using Prosbul because of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Whereas, according to Taisvis, we will not be able to because Hefker Bezdin Hefker doesn't override Shmita Daraisa. Says the Gemara, Dom Rav Yitzchak, Menayin Shehefker Bezdin Hefker. Where do we learn this concept of Hefker Bezdin Hefker? Shenemar, the pasuk says in Ezra, V'chol ha'shayav l'shloshes ha'yomim katzas ha'sorim v'zakeinim yachem karu chusha, whoever doesn't come within 3 days, all of his property will be confiscated, v'hu yibod mikal ha'goyla, and he will be separated. Rav Elazar amar hacha, elin cholos ha'shenochel ha'loz ha'koyim v'yishu benun v'rosh ha'ofis. What is the connection between the leaders and the ovis? The fathers have control over their estate. And points out the Yamshel Shloimo. There's a very fundamental difference between the two psukim that are being quoted. Because there's a question, a very big machlokes rishonim, what does Hefker Bezdin Hefker accomplish? Some Rishonim suggest that Hefker Bezdin Hefker accomplishes that it can be taken away from me. But Hefker Bezdin Hefker can't accomplish that the Bezdin could take something that belongs to me and give it to someone else. Whereas other Rishonim say that Hefker Bezdin Hefker could even accomplish that my item should become someone else's. The first pasuk says that his items will be confiscated, but they weren't given to someone else. The second pasuk says that they were given to others, a much stronger Hefker Bezdin Hefker. So now the Achronim want to suggest that is the basis for the Machloikis of Rashi and Taisvis that we just quoted. According to Rashi, Hefker Bezdin Hefker is so powerful that my object can become yours. And therefore, even in a Shemitah year, that's the Raisa, we can rely on Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Whereas according to Taisvis, Hefker Bezdin Hefker only accomplishes that it's no longer mine, but it can't become yours, and therefore in the Raisa, when we're dealing with a Raisa, Hefker Bezdin Hefker cannot override Shmita Daraisa. Ask the Gemara, Ibailu, Kihiskin Hillel Prosbul. When Hillel instituted the concept of Prosbul, was Ladaira who talking? Did he only do it for his generation, or Dilma Ladaira Almanami talking? They did it forever. Ask the Gemara, L'may Nafkamina, Levatule, can it be cancelled? Iam Ladari Hudatakin, if we'll say that it was only done for his generation, Mevatlinale, it can be cancelled. And here we have a Machloikis Ramban and the Ran, what does it mean it would be cancelled? The Ramban says it would be automatically cancelled after Hillel's time. According to the Ran, it doesn't mean that it would be automatically cancelled, but rather what it means is that it will only be in effect if the conditions that were in place in the time of Hillel will be in those generations in place. That means where people, as the Gemara said before, nimnu melahalvoi zezeh, avoided lending to each other. Eli amrit ladar amanami talking, but if we're going to say that he did it for all future generations, ha'ein bezdin yachlovatl, bezdin chaveroi, no later bezdin could void what earlier Bezdin said, Elm Kain Golim and B'chochma Minyan, unless they're greater B'chochma Minyan. What does Chochma Minyan mean? So Rishon is saying, Chochma means that the Ab Bezdin of the later generation is great, is a bigger Chochm than the Ab Bezdin of the earlier generation. Minyan, there's a number of Pshatim, because Minyan is very difficult. We know that a Sanhedrin has to have 71 members. So how could there be a difference in the number? So some explain that minyan refers to the minyan of Talmidim that the Rosh Bezdin has. Others say minyan of Chachomim, who are not in the Bezdin, but were in Klal Yisrael, who agreed to what Bezdin said. Tashma, Domishmu, Lokasvina Prosbula, I would write only a Prosbul, El Beidina de Sura, Ir Beidina de Nado. Only in those two Batidinim would I write a Prosbul. Visakadaitach, says the Gemara, Ladari Alman Nami Tokin, that he made a Prosbul for all future generations, so why is a Prosbul only written in those Batidinim? Bishar Batidinim Nami Liftov, it must be that the Prosbul is only for Hillel's generation. Says the Gemara, that's not a proof, because Dilma Kitikin Hillel Ladari Alma, when Hillel said that there should be a Prosbul in place for all future generations, he said that the Prosbul should only be made Kigayim Beidina the day, like in his Bezdin, or the Bezdin of Ami Rav Asi Dalim Lafuk Bemoinu. They were very powerful, but they deemed that they could declare money Hefker. Aval Kula Almaloy. So how do we know it means that Hillel, we still don't know what was Hillel's takana. Toshma, Damishmul, Ha Pursa, Pursbul, or the Pursbul is Ubud Dayanahu. It's an embarrassment. Iyashe Chayle, if I had the power, Avatlani, I would abolish it. Avatlani, ask the Gemara, how could he abolish it? Voy Bezin Yochle Vatl, Divri Bezin Chaveroi, Elm Ken Gol, he meant a Bechachman minion. So we see that the fact that Shmuel wanted to abolish it isn't it a proof that it was only instituted for Hillel's generation. It says more on the contrary. If I was greater than Hillel of Atleni, then I could abolish it. But given that I'm not, so then we have the problem. Ein bezin yochel vatel divrei bezin chaveroi em kein golim and a bechachma minyan, and therefore I cannot abolish it. From Nachman Amar, I kemena. If I had the power, I would confirm it. I kemena. Why do I need to confirm it? Hamakayim v'kayhi. The institute of the rule of Prosbul is very much in place. Why do we need him to do it? Hachkame. Em v'milsa. Davakav d'loy kosv k'kosv dami. I would say that you don't even have to write a Prosbul. All I would say is required is that one should tell Bezdin that he has the loans, and that should be enough to cancel the problem of Shemitah's Ksofim. So since the Gemara used the word Obana, the Gemara speaks about that word. Ibailu, Hai Obana, Lushan the Chutbahu, or Lushan the Chusahu. How do we understand the word Obana? Does it mean to embarrass somebody, or does it mean convenience? Tashma, the Amma Ula, Aluva Kala, Shazinsa Bekarav Chupasa. Klai Yisrael acted in an embarrassing manner when right after Har Sinai, they worshipped the eagle. Omer Amari Barad Mashmo Maikra. Where do we see this from? Because the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Ad Shamelech V'Masibai Nirdi Nosan Reichai. That while we were still sitting there, we gave off. Here, Nosan is being explained, says Rashi, that we abandoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omrav Rava Adayin Chavivosu Gebonim, but he still loves us. The Ksiv Nosan V'loy Ksiv Hisriach. The person says that we gave out, but it doesn't say that we became smell. We should have said that our smell became foul. The Pasuk doesn't say that. All the Pasuk says is Nosan, we lost the beautiful fragrance. Tana Rabbonim, Hanalovim ve'ena loyalvim. Those that are embarrassed, but do not insult in response. Shonim chaposim ve'ena meshivim. They hear how people disgrace them, they do not reply. Oysim yehavu smechem yisurim. They perform what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them out of love, and they're happy with their suffering. Aleim akosv oymev oyavav k'tseis Hashemus b'gvorosoy. We will come back to this Gemara in a moment to say some Divrei Torah on it, but first let's just finish a few more lines. My Prosbul, what is the meaning of the word Prosbul? Omer Rav Chisda, Prois Buli Abuti. It benefits the Buli and the Buti. Buli are the Ashirim, the Ksiv, the Shavarti is going Uschem, the Tanya Rav Yosef, Eilu Belosh, Yehuda, these are the wealthy people in Yehuda. Buti Eilaniim, the Ksiv Havet Avitena. And by having the Prosbul, people will still lend money to each other, and therefore we will have. And therefore both the rich will be prepared to lend money and the poor will have from where to borrow money. Amalei Rav Lelozo, Rav asked the foreigner, what does the word Prosbul mean? My Prosbul, Amalei Prosbul Milsa. The adjustment. This is the way the issue of Shemitah was adjusted by putting in place the Prosbul. So we just The Gemara just quoted the famous brisa of Hanolovim ve'ena Nolovim. Shomim mechabosam ve'ena meshivim. Rabbi Yaakov Emdim explains that we know that the way to understand the brisa is kolam paisel b'muma paisel. And if somebody embarrasses me, probably he has in him some of the issue, something that he's saying about me. And for a person to remain silent under those circumstances and not say what you're saying about me really is to be found in you is the greatest mila. In fact, Dor HaChaim HaKadosh, the Chidah, quotes the Dor HaChaim HaKadosh, who says that when somebody acts this way, it brings a tremendous hanor, a tremendous benefit to the Shechina Kedosha Kaviyachol, and that's why a person should be so careful to always act in this manner, to accept when people embarrass him, recognizing that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Although the Mefarshim say that Ha'olvim Ve'enin Nalovim, that means if somebody embarrasses me, I shouldn't answer back. However, V'ayavav, those who are my friends, K'tseis HaShemesh B'gvorosoy, they should go out and of course defend my honor. What is the comparison to the Shemesh? So the Mefarshim quote the Gemara in Masechta Chulin that teaches us that the moon complained that Ein Shtei Melochim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad, and therefore how could the sun and the moon be equal? And that's what the Gemara here means, that just like the sun remains silent under those circumstances, so too should everyone remain silent under the circumstances when someone is embarrassing him. For I saw a beautiful mashal in explaining what is the point of Yisurim. The Mefarshim, there was once the son of a great king who was a very, very intelligent young man who told his father, I'd like to go travel in the world and to see different things that I could learn in the world. And his father gave him permission and he began his travels. And as he's traveling, he hears that there is a place where they know of a specific lachash, a specific saying that if someone is attacked, he says that and it will protect him from any harm. He goes to that place and he asks the people, could you share this lachash with me? And they say, if you'll pay us a very significant sum of money, we will teach it to you. And he does. And he pays the people. And now he's on the way back home. And he starts thinking to himself, my father is going to ask me, what did I pick up? And I'm going to say that I learned this lachash. And I spent a lot of money to learn this lachash. But I don't know if it works. But my father's going to say, do you know that it works? How will I know that it works? He says, to experiment, to have people throw spears and shoot bullets at me and rely that the lachash would work, I'm not that courageous. On the other hand, that I should shoot bullets at someone else, assuming that nothing will happen to them, I'm also not prepared to do that. So what should I do? And as he's walking back home and pondering this dilemma, he's attacked. A group of thugs are starting to attack him. And he says the lachash, and it works. These people are now petrified from him. And he, instead of taking revenge at them, is very happy with them and he's dancing with them, and they're looking at him, why are you so happy? So he says, because of you I know the lachash works. Say to Mefarshim, that is how we are to look at Yisurim. If we look at the Yisurim as a way that we could grow, we could grow in our Avodas Hashem. We could grow in Yirat Shemayim. That is the way that we are to look at Yisurim, And therefore, smeichim b'yisurim. We are satisfied with the yisurim we get, because that is the way that we know that we are growing in avodas Hashem. But we will end this shir with the vart of the Bava Rebbe. He says that, as we know, the reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because of sinas chinam. Teaches us the Gemara. Ha'olvim ve'enem nalovim. People, shayim chaposom ve'enem meshivim. People who are willing to live in peace with everybody else, not interested in getting into fights with other people, teaches us the Gemara. Such a means of acting will cause the v'oyavav k'tseis Hashemesh b'gvrosoy. As the Gemara says, that in this world, the sun is not really in its full strength. Only when Mashiach comes, will the true sun, with all of its strength, come out. Ha'olvim v'einan ha'olvim. By living this way, one with another, b'sholom v'achva v'sholom v'reyes, one with another, will we cause that v'oyavav, by acting this way, with love towards each other, will we cause k'tseis Hashemesh b'gvrosoy, that the sun that was in the world during the 7 days of creation, that powerful sun that will come back when Mashiach comes, will come very quickly by us acting b'hava zeh l'zeh.